Okay, tonight is Wednesday, February 24th, or Yud Aleph Adar, Tainus Esther Mukdam. This is the women's Mishnah share. Tonight we are doing something, Lichvod Purim, in which the discussion will be beneficial for dozens of opportunities during the year in a critical, fundamental debate between Rashi and the Rambam.
Okay. If I were to start with Survey Says and ask you, which of the two Megillah readings is more significant? That of the night or during the day? What would you respond?
Night.
What? I told you this already. Good. I told you last week. Do you remember? Good. Today we're going to see a debate between Rashi and the Rambam as to what the definition of day is to begin the reading of the Megillah, to perform the mitzvah Brit Milah, to perform the mitzvah of Arba Minim. Whenever there is a mitzvah which is called upon to be observed during the day, what is the definition of day in order to fulfill this particular mitzvah? So we're going to read a Mishnah which is, happens to be focused in Megillah, discussing the mitzvah of the Megillah. As I told you last week, the Mishnah only knows of reading the Megillah during the day. The Mishnah never heard of reading the Megillah at night. It was introduced later in the time of the Talmud. And did I explain last week why we read it at night? Okay, so that'll be at the end. I discussed it Friday night. So what is...
No, that wasn't last week.
I know. So what was... Okay. Fine. Okay. You're right. So I will take care of that at the end. I'm at the end. Fine. But the Mishnah only acknowledges Purim reading during the day. Every mitzvah of Purim can only take place during the day. If you eat a seudah next Saturday night, you will be full. But you don't fulfill the mitzvah of eating seudat Purim. You have to eat it during daytime. If you give mishloach manot, you gave a gift, but you did not fulfill the mitzvah of mishloach manot. It has to be done Sunday daytime. If you give matanot lev, if you give tzedakah on Purim night, you fulfill the mitzvah of tzedakah, but not the mitzvah of matanot lev yonim. It has to be done during the day.
So interesting. So all those cards that are going out before...
The money... No, no. The money is being will be distributed by that organization on Purim. Correct.
Do you get credit for it if you support that?
Of course. They will distribute part of the monies from everybody on Purim. That's the idea of it. So Megillah 2 is only from the Mishnah's vantage point discussed with the reading during the day. So let's take a look at the Mishnah on the top right-hand side of the page. Ein korin et ha-Megillah. One shall not read the Megillah. Velo malin. You should not circumcise a little pisher. There are several other examples which the Mishnah gives on the top of the page where the Gemara side starts. The top right-hand side. Okay? I underlined the critical lines. And okay? I'm not going to do all of the examples because it's not relevant. Now I'm in line four. When you should not read the Megillah or circumcise ad shetone tachama until the sun rises. Vikulan, however, she'asu misha'ala amud hashachar, any one of these mitzvot which done as early as dawn, kasher, you have fulfilled the mitzvah. Again, the Mishnah says, it would be best not to fulfill the mitzvah of reading the Megillah until daybreak. Excuse me, until sunrise. So we'll use today's clock. Sunrise today is 6:37 a.m. So the Mishnah says, if you have a little baby to be circumcised, if you have to read the Megillah this Sunday, if it would be Sukkot and you have to take the mitzvah of Lulav,
you should wait until sunrise. Vikula. However, all of them, if you did them as early as dawn, which is 5:25 a.m. today, it's okay, it's acceptable. B'di'evet, precisely. If done as early as dawn, that is okay. So take a look at the left-hand side of the top of the page, source Bet, and this is Rashi's commentary. Why initially you should wait until sunrise. But b'di'evet, if done as early as daybreak, you can fulfill the mitzvah. Why should you wait initially until sunrise? Why, says Rashi. D'me'alot hashachar yemamahu. The definition of day begins at dawn. Alot hashachar is literally the rise of the morning star. It's what we call dawn. 5:25 a.m. this morning is halachically daytime. So why did the Mishnah say, don't read the Megillah till 6:37, which is sunrise this morning, 72 minutes later? Aval, lefi she'ein hakol biki'in bo. Not everybody can identify the moment of what? Dawn. In fact, you have homework. Tomorrow, wake up at 5:25. Tomorrow, 5:24.
Hey,
that's the best start. Trust me, if you look outside, it's going to be pitch dark. Pitch dark. You will find it extremely difficult to know exactly when dawn is. Now, I told you it's 5:24. How do I know it's 5:25 today? How did I know? Because the New York Times printed sunrise was at 6:37. Dawn is always 72 minutes before sunrise. Or, in many shuls, you have a computerized scoreboard with every single relevant time on the wall. Flips, keeps going back and forth. It'll tell you when sunrise is, end of Zman Kriya Shema, midday, when you're allowed to start davening Mincha, when you can't daven Mincha any longer, till when you can daven Shacharis, all these times flashing on the wall. In the time of the Mishnah, they didn't know. They didn't know exactly when the sun rose. So Rashi, no, that's not for dawn. That's Mishiyakir, that's the Rikriyashma, which has nothing to do with this discussion. Nothing. So now, says Rashi, you know why the rabbi said to wait until sunrise? Because you have to be a moron not to be able to recognize sunrise. You see the sun. Sunrise. So when you see the sunrise, you know for a fact that what has already taken place? Dawn. Daybreak. So really, definitionally, the definition of daytime always begins as early as dawn. The Mishnah's suggestion not to perform a mitzvah which takes place during the day as early as dawn is done only as a precaution, because it is impossible for the naked eye to be able to recognize when dawn is. Therefore, what danger do you run if you're going to think you know when dawn is? What danger are you going to run? That it's still night time. And if it's still night, you cannot circumcise your child at night.
Even though we say...
If you do so, one second, if you do so, you have to cut more blood. It's called hatafas dam bris. You have to have another surgical procedure. Because there is no such thing as mila at night. If you read the Megillah at that time, you've got to read it again. Because you have not discharged your responsibility. So as a precautionary measure, claims Rashi, the rabbi said, wait until a time in which you know factually that it happens to be daytime. When is that? When the sun rises. So many modern-day poskim claim that according to Rashi, this cautionary measure should no longer be necessary. Because as I said, every Tom, Dick, and Harry and sand, knows very well that you can identify when sun rises by looking at a newspaper. You got a little clock on your ring, you know, a computerized digital, you open up your Palm Pilot, you can get everything in the world. So today, you know exactly what the clock is, what time it is.
But even in Rashi's time, couldn't someone who knows, you know, today is Tuesday, I know I have to do the rest Wednesday morning, but Tuesday I will look at the clock. I mean, it is.
What clock? Clock was a sundial. Right. That didn't tell them that it doesn't work at night. not Rashi's time.
But you can recognize that it's getting light even before.
Correct, but in order to make sure that you don't do it early enough, said Rashi, what did the rabbis recommend? Wait till sunrise. Very nice. Rambam apparently disagreed with Rashi. And what we're going to try to do tonight is understand why Rambam will say what he says. And I will show you the Rambam's comment, and the Rambam's comment will have to be explained, and the Rav will come up with something incredible based on a simple analysis of Psukim in Parshat Bereishit.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to ask that. How do we explain when the Erev Yom Kippur? Because halakhically, the day starts the night before.
Okay, we're going to see. We will see. If you would have been in shul 3 weeks ago, I know. So I devoted the Shabbos Brasha to Igeret Ibn Ezra, where the Ibn Ezra described that he had a dream in the middle of night on a Friday night. He tells us the date. It was the 14th day of the month of Tevet in 891 years ago. And somebody came to his house in the middle of the night, this is in his dream, and presented him called Igeret HaShabbat. And he was so happy. I have the possibility, I have the task of highlighting the beauty of Shabbos. And he starts thinking, I observe Shabbos so meticulously. And as he's reading the letter, he comes across the line that somebody said that tonight, this is the middle of the night, Friday night, you should desecrate tonight. Turn on the light. Because Shabbos starts during the day. Shabbos goes from Saturday morning until Sunday morning. And you have, somebody brought you a chumash with a commentary in it. And that's the commentary that's written inside. Ibn Ezra describes this, that he wakes up in a cold sweat. He runs to his bookcase. He takes out the book, goes outside, because there was no light in his house. He looks at the moon, under the moon, and he reads. That's exactly what it says. Shabbos starts during the day. And Friday night, you can go disco dancing. Doesn't say that. No disco dancing. And he said, What I did was, I ripped out the page on Shabbos from that chumash, because I said, it would be better to desecrate the Sabbath once so that people don't always desecrate the Shabbos. If they're going to read this commentary, every Shabbos they'll start observing Saturday morning to Saturday morning. And I went on a promise that I'm going to write a letter and a composition saying how the guy who said that is the biggest worthless guy on the planet. Who is that guy? It was the Rashbam. The Rashbam said that the words Vayhi Erev Vayhi Boker means as the day arrived, that's when day starts. Erev does not mean night, says the Rashbam. He says it twice. Once in his interpretation in the first pasuk, in the first time it appears on day number one of creation, and then he repeats it on Friday. And he writes, Hine ba boker shel shishi, boker shel shvi'i, vehine hetchila ha-shabbat.
The word ba, ba-mishem, I just
sun sets. No, but that's not what the Rashbam said. Kisha haboker ba, az hitchila hashabbat. It's black and white. It's what Rashbam says. It's black and white in the text.
How does he interpret the Arab?
He has a word. I don't remember what he said.
Right.
Erev, he says it doesn't say vayhi laila vayhi boker.
Right.
It says vayhi erev. He's got an interpretation. I don't want to waste the whole share on this.
Right.
But Rashbam said it. Because Rashbam is the Pashtan, the greatest Pashtan in the world. And he, of course, did not observe Shabbos from Shabbos morning to Sunday morning. He didn't. But the Rashbam often tries to explain simple interpretation of the text. And the Rashbam believes that the simple interpretation of the text says that the day begins during the day, not at night. Day, night follows day. Night follows day. So, when you raise that question, Rashbam says yours, it starts during the day. But anyhow, this is Rashi in our opinion. Daybreak is dawn. Wait until sunrise as a precautionary measure. Rambam didn't agree with this. Please look, there are several Rambams. I'm going to take the simple one. Look at the left-hand side on source Dalet. This is the Perush HaMishneh of the Rambam. The Rambam wrote a commentary to all of Mishneh when he was very, very old, 18 years old. He was 18 when he wrote a commentary on all of the Mishneh. His magnus opus, the Mishneh Torah, he wrote when he was 44. He wrote when he was 44. But this he wrote when he was 18 years old, in Arabic, not in Hebrew. It was translated. Says the Rambam, I bracketed the relevant lines for you. Umash, I know it's small print, because that's the way it's printed in the Gemara. Umash Omar, v'kulon sh'asu me sh'alo hamur ha'shacha kasher, that which the Mishnah says, that if you do it as early as dawn, you are yotzei, that's l'mi sh'avar v'asa be'et hatzorech hagadol. That's only for somebody in a desperate need. Here's the case. Tuesday's the Purim's a Tuesday, and his boss says, you have to be in Tucson, Arizona at 9 a.m. Tuesday morning. Okay? Well, the flight's leaving at 6:30. And he doesn't know how to read the Megillah, and he doesn't think the pilot's going to read it for him. Under those circumstances, desperate situation, says the Rambam, if you read it early as dawn, 5:25, you yotze. But aval hamaaseh hagamur, the complete moholsom mitzvah, hu achar honeit hachama. The more wholesome way of doing a mitzvah is to wait until when? Until sunrise. Now that's not what Rashi said. Rashi didn't say that the more wholesome way to do the mitzvah of Megillah is to wait till sunrise. Why did Rashi tell us to wait until sunrise? To be careful, precautionary measure, just in case you don't read it at night. That's not what the Rambam says. The Rambam says the ideal way to do a mitzvah of daytime is to wait until sunrise. Sunrise. So a couple of months ago, there was a baby born, and they had decided to have the minyan at 6:30 a.m. It was a weekday. People got to go to work. And Katzenstein was the mayor. Now you know Katzenstein's style. The last Kaddish is said, oh, you said Shalom Ben Raima, who you have Shalom Ben Kazerim? Baruch Haba! Get that picture in here. He doesn't waste 10 seconds. He's set up before davening. I love him. It's everybody loves him. In 15 minutes, you're already downstairs, already ate two bagels. On that day, it was early December, sunrise was at 7:20. Katzenstein said, I'm not doing the bris until 7:20. Why? Because the Mishnah says you're supposed to wait. And the Rambam tells us it's not a precautionary measure.
It's absolute. The pristine way to do a mitzvah that applies during the day, and Mila is one of them, because the Torah text says, U bayom hashmini yimo b'sarolato, on the eighth day thou shalt circumcise your child. Therefore he said, I'm not doing the bris until 7:20. You want to know? Okay, you want to wait? Fine, don't worry. I'm not doing it. So some people ought to go. Too bad. Because he knew what the halacha said.
Yeah, but the first case, you would be, it's really a different
one.
Wait, right?
Because
the Torah says that...
Torah doesn't say anything.
Well, I mean, it's...
Torah just says day.
Okay, so we can interpret day.
Which way?
We can interpret day of sunrise.
That's what the Rambam says.
Right.
That the pristine way to define the way day is when sunrise. But he acknowledges that if you did it as early as dawn, you would discharge your responsibility.
But if you didn't do it at dawn, in the case of the first person, the first case you get, you wouldn't be able to do it at all.
In which case?
And you wouldn't have in the case where he was going to Arizona, and you wouldn't be able to
do it at all. So even the Rambam said he should do it.
Right.
Correct.
I think probably,
so now I ask you, according to Rambam, which is the real definition of day? I'm not talking about this. I'm looking for a definition. What is the real definition of this?
Sunrise.
Sunrise. Sunrise. Mm-hmm. So if it's sunrise, why does that guy have to go to Arizona, just tell his boss, I can't leave. I can't make that flight. Why? Because I can't start reading the Megillah until 6:37. The Rambam acknowledges, because he has to acknowledge, because who already said that if you read it as early as dawn, you are young? The Mishnah. Rambam can't disagree with the Mishnah. But I want to explore with you tonight, conceptually, how the Rambam understood the Mishnah.
So the halacha is according to the Rambam.
We're going to see. I didn't say you comprehend. That's the wrong question to ask
no,
this year. That's the question you asked 30 years ago. When you had to, what's the halacha? I don't want to hear that question.
Women with being said.
When they, that's correct.
That's right.
Well, so I want to understand what I want to understand why is it more what is running through his mind to lead to that conclusion and disagree with Rashi. Rashi said, what is the only definition of day?
Dawn.
I'll right. Sunrise is a precaution. But there is only one definition of day. That's logical. One definition of day. According to Rambam, there are two definitions of day. There's a pristine definition and a secondary. Well, where do you come up with two definitions? One, the recommended group. The other one is a fallback position. Yes.
I just don't understand what dawn means.
Dawn means dawn. The first crack of light. The sun has not yet risen. It's the first trace of light on the horizon. It's 72 minutes before sunrise.
When you get up at that.
That is halacha
thing.
I don't know, Abraham got up at his clock to go to. Isn't there some precedent where you could see
no.
The sun?
No. It says, Vayashkem Abraham Baboker in the morning. Correct? I'm going to show you the psukim that you're looking for. That's what I'm here for tonight. Yes?
You use the word pristine, but the language in Hebrew is gamor.
Right. Complete, more wholesome.
Well, you're using wholesome. I'm saying if you're going to use the word gamor, the opposite would be incomplete, which would mean that you might have to do something again.
Okay. But he didn't. The Mishnah did not say that you have to do it again.
Right.
But there is something missing by doing it early. I grant you that. So that is our struggle. What do I mean that if you do it after sunrise, you've got the whole mitzvah. But if you do it after dawn, it's not complete. It's incomplete. It's okay, but it's incomplete. Why? That's what I want to show you tonight. Yes.
What are the last three words?
That's something else. That's Karev Yossi.
Right.
There's something else. Exactly. Nothing to do with this.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, maybe day isn't a yes-no thing. Maybe
it has to be.
No,
it can't be gradual, because there are 50 halakhot that depend on an absolute definition. When can you discharge the mitzvah lulav? You can't say it's a flop,
because
the mitzvah takes a tenth of a second. You pick it up that way, and you can fill the mitzvah. Answer the question.
It's just amazing.
It depends.
If it's at such a time, yes. If it's before such a time, no.
Okay, but if you were saying that something's incomplete, what's incomplete is light in the sky. The partial light in the sky is not complete.
Does that make sense in terms of a fundamental definition of what constitutes day?
No, I mean, but what I'm saying is that maybe you can say that complete day.
So I'm going to show you what you're on the side, and I'm going to show you what it is.
Now, in order to understand and appreciate the Rambam, and then we're going to show other sources which will confirm this, please now go to the second page. The second page. And the second page also has the back and the front. Please go to the second page. Second page. Which is Bereshit, chapter 1, verse 5. I bracketed it for you. Ladies and ladies, I want you to read chapter 1, verse 5 of Sefer Genesis, and I'm going to ask you one question based on that pasuk. The question is, what is the definition of day when you read that pasuk? I need a definition. Correct. The presence of light. That's nice. Vayikra Elohim Lo'or Yom. God called the phenomenon of light daytime. Any light. As long as there is light, that is the presence of day. There's no such thing as light from the sun at this point in creation. There is no moon and there is no sun. They were created on day number 4. So whatever the word or means, and people who are far brighter than I, the Ramban has 12 pages trying to understand what was the source of light on day number 1 before the sun was created. It's a huge question. I don't know the answer. But there are pages and pages of volumes of books trying to explain this particular puzzle. That's not for my discussion tonight.
Why is it dead?
Hold on, one second. Now flip the page. And I bracketed for you chapter 1, verse 16. Read the pasuk, and then I will repeat my definition, my question. Read chapter 1, verse 16, and then I ask you the same question. What is the definition of daytime?
When the light is there.
Correct. The Torah says, Vayat Elohim et shnei ha-me'orot ha-gidolim. God created the two great luminaries. And then one became smaller. We'll talk about that midrash a little later. Et ha-me'or ha-gadol, the great luminary, Limem Shelet Hayom, to rule the day. Ve'ekhamaor hakaton, Limem Shelet Halayim. And the small luminary, which we call Muni, to rule the night. Ve'eit hakokhavim, and the stars. So here, if asked to create a definition, verse based on verse 16, you come to the conclusion that the definition of day hinges on the appearance of the sun.
That's true.
Because it says God put the sun in the orbit to rule the day. If the sun is not out, there is no daytime. That's the inference. It's clear. Yes.
And the shells could be rove.
Rove?
Yes.
It doesn't say rove sun. It says l'men shelet hayom, to rule the day. The word men shelet, I know what it means. It means to rule. Men shelet is a smichut. Men shelet hayom. Ha men shelet shel hayom is the ma'or hagadol.
But what's that definition?
It's very simple. If the sun is out, that means the day has hit. If the sun is not out, that's not daytime. How much of the sun? That's a debate. But that's a debate. Whether you need the beginning of the sun or the whole. It's a 6 minute difference. Fine. I'll take whichever one you want. But one thing you can guarantee, if the sun is not above the horizon, it's nighttime.
So dawn, according to this puzzle,
is nighttime.
It's nighttime.
Correct. The night extends, according to this puzzle, at sunrise, till sunrise.
It's true, though, because it really isn't. It is nighttime.
Okay.
I mean, if I'm up to five...
Suggested the Rav, this is what's running through Rambam's mind. For some strange reason, God, in His infinite wisdom, when presenting the Torah to us, gave us conflicting signals when daytime is supposed to be. One of His cherished verses seems to indicate that the arrival of the phenomenon of light is already to be defined as daytime. That's Pasuk 10. Vayikra Elohim Lo'or Yom. A second definition says no. The appearance of light does not necessarily yet indicate that day has arrived. When has day finally emerged and arrived? When the sun rises.
But it's different because...
Give me one second. Now we understand what the Rambam says. Initially, the mitzvah gamur, the complete mitzvah, is always to wait until both definitions of day have arrived. The complete mitzvah is to wait until both definitions have been satisfied. Therefore, the Mishnah says, on any mitzvah which you have to perform during the day, you should wait initially until both definitions have arrived. Therefore, on that Monday, on that Sun Tuesday morning in December, Captain Steen said, we're waiting till 7:20. Because although one definition of daytime has arrived at 6:08, however, the second definition, hell will not arrive till 7:20. And it would be best, preferred, to wait until both definitions of daytime have arrived before you perform a mitzvah, which is to take place only during the day. Just one more second. However, in a situation where you are desperate, where you got to catch the plane because your guy said you got to get on that plane to Tucson. As long as one definition of day is around, that will suffice for the end. Therefore, if I were to read the Megillah this coming Sunday morning as early as 5:25, I would get credit. Because at least one of the criteria has been met. But initially, if you have available time and it's not compelling to do so early, wait until both definitions have arrived. And that's not before 6:37. Yes. What?
Can you read the Megillah before Shacharis?
Yes. Megillah has nothing to do with davening.
It's just tradition that it's done.
Correct.
Okay.
Because the reason why we normally do it early is because whenever you have two things to do, you take the more frequent one. Yeah. So we got the Shabbos more frequently and we read them again. So that's what you do first. Yeah.
Now, the summer frame on the fourth chapter.
Correct.
There's the first, the second, the third. How are the word days interpreted there, or is that...
I have no idea.
Okay.
I don't know what the phenomenon of daytime meant in the absence of a sun.
Is anyone?
Yes. People have theories. Of course there's this. Scientists, Parshanim on the Chumash, everybody says, what in the world was this light in the absence of the sun? What was it? What happened to it? What was its origin? What was the origin of the phenomenon of light before God created the sun? You can write books. There have been books written about it. I am not a scientist. I can't tell you. Yes.
But since that first definition wasn't talking about sunlight, it was just saying
light.
Then, if we really wanted to take that definition literally, it could just as easily mean moon.
And no.
Why? I mean, why does it mean sunlight anywhere?
Because moonlight is not natural light. We know that the moon does not generate any light of its own. It's a reflection of the sun. Yes, they did.
I don't know.
Because the Gemara even compares Yehoshua's motion. Moshe, they said his radiance was like the sun.
Right.
Yehoshua was like the moon because he's just sitting back. Moshe Rabbeinu was tired.
There
are no stars before they know the four.
I am aware of that. But it still you don't see the sun on the horizon. You and me know. It says the. Okay, but the way it, the halacha interprets it, this is halachic interpretation. The halachic interpretation is that in order to reach Mem Shelet Hayom, the sun has to be visible.
We know now
that. That is correct. I grant you that. I grant you that. So now. What emerges then is really a fundamental conflict between Rashi and the Rambam. What is the definition of day? According to Rashi, the definition of day is only one possible definition. The presence of light. That's it. Waiting until sunrise is done nothing for a precaution, but a precautionary measure. That perhaps you will begin the activity before the appearance of light technically is to be observed. However, according to the Rambam, there are two definitions, two criteria of day. And our initial position would be to wait until both definitions have arrived, unless there is a compelling reason for you to do it early. Under which case we suffice with what? One definition of day. I want to show you now another debate that hinges upon this machloket between Rashi and the Rambam. Another debate. Those of you who were here when we studied the fourth parak of Masechet Brachot, or the first parak of Masechet Brachot, will be aware of that whenever the Mishnah tells us that you are allowed to do something for X number of hours in the day, the word hours in the Talmud does not mean 60 minutes. The only thing that means 60 minutes is Channel 2, 7 o'clock on Sunday. That's 60 minutes. Right. Beyond, the halacha doesn't know an hour is 60 minutes. The halacha deals what's called, here is the term, you'll hear it in Glad Express, sha'ot zmaniyot. Zmaniyot. And I'll illustrate it in a minute. Sha'ot zmaniyot means an hour, a halachic hour, that has arrived in the following fashion. You take the number of hours that are in daylight, number of hours of daylight, or better yet, number of minutes in daylight, and you divide by 12. When you divide by 12, you now have a halachic hour. That's going to be the point. After you get to the number of minutes in a halachic hour, and then the Mishnah says you're allowed to daven shacharit for 4 hours, you don't calculate 4 hours for 60 minutes. It's 4 halachic hours. So We have a mathematician here. I know. So I'm going to give you today's calculation. Okay? Very simple. Sunrise. So let's start. Let's start with dawn. Dawn this morning was 5:25. Dawn this morning was 5:25. Dusk, absolute nightfall, absence of light, was 6:22 tonight. 6:22 was dusk tonight.
13 hours.
Good. It's not quite 13 hours. Okay. So how much is it? How many minutes is it?
12
times 60 plus?
57.
Plus 57. Okay? So you do 12 times 60 plus 57 and divide that by 12. Okay, how much is that? A lot?
Around 65.
Good. Around 65 minutes. So if you begin, if you calculate the number of hours of the day from dawn, presence of light, until dusk, like Rashi does, dawn to dusk, you will now arrive at 65 minutes for a halachic hour.
For today.
For today. Good. So if the halacha tells you that you are allowed to daven shacharit for 4 halachic hours, and dawn this morning was at 5:25, how much... Give me a time. How many, till when can you daven chakras this morning?
9:45.
What is it going to be? 4 halachic hours, 4 times 65 is how many hours? 60 minutes. 260 minutes is 4 hours and 20 minutes. So when are you allowed to daven chakras till? 9:45. 9:45. You understand how we got to 9:45? We computed the number of daylight hours between dawn and dusk and nightfall. Which is in accord, now the author of that calculation, his name is the Magen Avraham. That's how you have to know it. If you're talking the halakha and going to a base medrash, the Magen Avraham is cheating. On a calendar, many calendars, it'll print the Zman Tfilah and Zman Kriyashma according to the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham is following Rashi's definition of day. When do you begin the calculation of time available in daylight hours? From dawn. When do you conclude that calculation? Dusk. You add up the number of minutes, you divide by 12, and we now came to the conclusion that you are permitted to daven shacharit today, according to the Magen Avraham, until 9:45. So that's 4 halachic hours into the day.
Is it? Side question. Does that mean you can start at 9:45?
No, it has to be finished.
It has to be finished.
Should be finished by 9:45. At least Shimon Esrei said by 9:45.
Does that mean you can start at dawn?
Yes. According to this, you can start at dawn. Now.
Even though it's not preferable.
According to Rashi, it may not be preferable.
Right.
Correct. But forget about Rashi. Right. Now we look, the Vilna Gaon disagreed with the Magen Avraham. And he said, your calculation is not done from dawn until dusk. Your calculation is done from sunrise, sunset, sunrise to sunset. Okay? So now, okay, so now, let's figure this out. Sunrise this morning was 6:37. After dawn.
So all you have to do is divide 72 by 12.
No, you have to go early. Sunset, not dusk. The Vilna Gaon says you calculate the number of minutes between sunrise and sunset, not between dawn and dusk.
But that's 72 minutes at each end.
No, it's not 72 minutes at each end. It's 72 minutes in the morning, and in the evening. It depends where in the world you are.
Right.
In North America, it's about 40 minutes. In Israel, in Yerushalayim, it's 18 minutes. In North America, it's about 40 minutes. 40 minutes between sunset and dusk. 40 minutes. Sunset and dusk is 40 minutes in North America. We'll talk about Shabbos in a second. Forget about the mixture up 60 things. Let's focus on this issue. So today, sundown today was 5:42. Sunrise was 6:37. Sunset was 5:42. So how much is a halachic hour? You have to take all those numbers and divide by 12. How much is a halachic hour?
About 55
minutes. 55 minutes. Good. About 55 minutes is a halachic hour. Good.
This is what I do.
Good. So now calculate for us, beginning at 6:37, 4 halachic hours. 4 times 55.
10:17.
Good. According to the Vilna Gaon, you're allowed to daven shacharis until 10:17. Why? The Mishnah doesn't say any of this. The Mishnah just says you're allowed to daven shacharis until 4 hours into the day. Well, you have to know when daytime starts, when daytime ends, in order to calculate 4 hours.
Right.
Plus, you have to know, for some strange reason, the halakha does not take an hour as an hour. What is a halakhic hour? Number of daylight minutes divided by 12 equals your halakhic hour. So this is going to make a difference for chametz.
Sure.
You're allowed to eat chametz until the end of the fourth hour. You have to burn chametz by the end of the fifth hour. According to the Magen Avraham, it's going to be much earlier. According to the Guin, it's going to be late. So, in other words, the debate between the Magen Avraham and the Gra really has its roots where?
Rashi
and the Rambam. Why did the Magen Avraham say you calculate the halachic hour from dawn to dusk? Where did he come up with that? The Magen Avraham in the 17th century. Where did he come up with that from? Because he knew that Rashi already said that the definition of day begins at dawn. That means the end of the day has got to be dusk. Because your definition of day is the presence of light. The end and the absence of light triggers nightfall. Correct? Therefore, you calculate the number of hours and minutes, you divide by that 12, and you come to the conclusion that 4 halachic hours is 65 minutes times 4. You start at dawn, and you arrive at the conclusion that you have to be completed shacharit by 9:45. The Gaon apparently adopted the Rambam Shita. That optimally, to define definitions of day, I should wait until both criteria have been present. What are the both? Presence of light and the appearance of the sun. Since he waits for both definitions, his calculation of daytime goes from sunrise, when both definitions are there, until sunset. Because as soon as the sun sets, one of the definitions of daytime are no longer here. So therefore, he believes that the halakha calculates what we call Yom Gamur, pristine definition of day. Therefore, his halakhic hour was only 55 minutes. Because the number of daylight minutes between sunrise and sunset is going to be considerably less than from dawn to dusk. So whatever that number was, he divided it by 12. That's his halachic hour. That turned out to be 55 minutes. But he started his calculations from sunrise later in the day, and therefore you can daven shacharit this morning until 10:17, as opposed to 9:45, the Magen Avraham. Yeah.
Is there any significance to your phrase, the Renegon apparently adopted the Renegon?
No, he did. He did.
Thank you.
In fact, If you want to see the gula inside, it's saute. It's a very long gula. I underlined the last line of that entry. The last line. Hacheshbon shel sha'ot zmaniot. Bichol makom. Eino ela minei tachama ad shkiyat tachama. The calculation, every single time, without fail, not like the candy bar one, bar none. There are no exceptions to the rule. Calculation of day is always done between sunrise and sunset. Apparently, why did he take that definitively? Upon whose shoulders does the Gaon rest? The Rambam's. The Rambam's shoulders. Now, just as an aside, the Gaon would often disagree with people, even if there was nobody to rely on. He was that type of a personality. He disagreed with everybody when he thought he was right. In fact, the definition of absolute nightfall, well, I calculated for you 40 minutes after sunset, that's the Vilna Gaon.
Right.
The Rabbeinu Tam says it's 72 minutes after sunset. 72 minutes after, not 40.
It's interesting that he's got 72 at the end of the day.
Correct. Yes.
Are those numbers the same every day of the year?
What numbers?
72 and the 40 in this area?
It's approximate, yes. 40, 42.
Everywhere else, it's different.
It's 72 is always consistent.
No matter where we are.
That is correct. But the sun setting and absolute dusk, that is a function of what? Of how close you are to the equator and so on. Like I said, Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, from sunset to dusk is 18 minutes.
Very, very short.
Very quickly.
Very quickly.
Yes.
Right, and then it starts.
If we were literally on the equator,
it would be 2 minutes.
Okay.
Almost. Huh. Rabbi Yossi says it's Keherafon, the blink of an eyelash.
If you're literally on the equator.
That's correct. A second in between. There's no twilight. Correct. It's instant. If you're on the equator, the sun dips below the horizon, it's dark. That's correct. Rabbi Yossi said it. He knew that. What does the Tanaim? Says, Bein Ashmasho, twilight is terrifying. Not there? Like a blink of an eyelash.
I don't know if it's true with sunrise.
It's, I don't know. I don't know.
And who has been to the equator to check this out?
I don't know. People have been there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Today? Sure. Today? Sure. So that's one area, Rabotai. That's one area. One area where there is a practical difference between Rashi and the Rambam, and it's manifest in the debate between the Magen Avraham and the Gaon. Yes.
Is it okay then to pick and choose, like for a Shacharit, using one calculation and then...
No. You should follow, that's correct. In our communities, modern Orthodox communities, we always adopt the Gaon. We're consistent. In yeshivish communities, they're usually more machmir like the Magen Avraham. The Gaon is later. We typically calculate our times following the Gaon in this regard, typically.
Because we would follow Rambam.
No, because the Gaon, in our opinion, is the heavyweight against everybody else. I don't know why. And also, we don't mind taking the more lenient positions. We don't believe that there's a big mitzvah to be machmir every single time. We don't, fundamentally. We don't believe that somebody necessarily is holier because he takes the more stringent position. We don't necessarily believe that. That you can be a very good, a law-abiding citizen of Jewish people by accepting the normative position of the Gaon, and you don't have to look for every single stringency that's possible. Yes?
Can I ask a different question on the Megill?
Sure.
I think you've done this once, but I'm not sure if I remember. Why was this Megill chosen to be canonized? Didn't you talk about that?
No.
Oh,
I know when the Jews had wholeheartedly accepted the Torah, as opposed to Sinai, when we were kind of...
But the Gemara does say that at the time of Megillah, there was a re-acceptance. That's correct. But that's not the reason why it became canonized.
Oh, okay.
No. No. There's no way to defend it. None. There is no way to defend the practice in Hasidic world that they start davening shacharis at 10:30 in the morning. There is no way. It is impossible to halachically defend that position. Impossible to halachically defend it. There are holy people who are doing it. I can't, nobody can defend them halachically. That's it. I don't understand. They just start davening at 10:30, start davening, when nobody agrees that you're allowed to daven at that time.
You know, said that the whole idea of the Shabbos should start
on the daytime.
So how can he then do stuff on Saturday night if he really thought
he couldn't? He wouldn't.
But I thought you said he kept Friday until the Shabbos.
Because he knows that halachic tradition doesn't accept his interpretation. So he observed Friday night to Saturday night.
Oh, he observed Saturday
night
too.
Of course. Of course, Friday night to Saturday night.
No, the way we do it.
Even though he believed that the Pshat and the Pasuk was to observe it Saturday morning to Sunday morning,
right.
He did not practice that.
But he didn't practice, he didn't go till Sunday morning.
No.
He
says that rabbinic literature doesn't always conform with the simple reading of the text. That's what he said. It doesn't conform with the simple reading of the text. Okay. Let me conclude the last minute about the Megillah. I told you, and here the Mishnah which we read only discusses reading the Megillah, the time for daytime. There is no parallel Mishnah to describe when you're supposed to read the Megillah at night. Why? Because there ain't no mitzvah to read it at night, according to the Mishnah. It was introduced at a later time in the Talmud. And let me give you the Rav's explanation why it was introduced. It has nothing to do with Purim. The Rav believed that the reading of the Megillah is connected to Tanis Esther. Each and every fast day which we observe has a common denominator of something tragic that took place. On Asarah B'Teveh, the siege around Yerushalayim began. On the 17th of Tammuz, the siege, the walls were pierced and broken. 3 weeks later, they reached the temple, the Beit HaMikdash, and destroyed it. Tzom Gedaliah, the death of Gedaliah ben Achikam. What terrible calamity happened on Tanis Esther? Nothing happened. Oh. So the Rav said, and I mentioned this on Friday night, Shul, for me, Tanis Esther is the most uplifting fast of the year. Besides Yom Kippur, of course, because that's a different fast altogether. It shows you, from time to time, that when you pray and engage in serious introspection, sometimes your tefillot are answered in the affirmative. Too often, we pray, and then we're so disappointed, so frustrated. I remember this like it was yesterday, when Michael Taubes told us that Rina suffered, well, was it a stroke, whatever it was, whatever happened, everybody came to the shul. The shul was jam-packed. How long did it take for her to die? The next day, 2 days later? A day later, she passed away. And I remember the empty feeling that people experienced and expressed. We all got together as a kibbutz. We poured our hearts out. And our Kodesh Baruch Hu listened. We have a guarantee that he listened. And he said, no. No, son, no. I don't accept them. Tanit Esther is a time when the Jews assembled by Esther's directive, and pray for 3 days. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu listened. And nothing happened. We were spared. What is the book that tells us that nothing happened on Tanis Esther? Where is that story found? In the Megillah. So therefore, the rabbis of the Talmud instituted reading the Megillah at the conclusion of Tanis Esther. In fact, the Mishnah Berurah writes that even though the fast technically has ended at nightfall, you should not eat until after the Megillah is read. Why not? I think you have a little drink, have a little juice, then read the Megillah. Because the entire purpose of the Megillah is to demonstrate why I fast tomorrow. Because it's not a fast of tragedy. It's a fast in which you recognize that a potential tragedy can take place and that sometimes serious prayer and introspection is sufficient to trigger HaKadosh Baruch Hu and change his plan and change his mind. And that's an incredibly uplifting experience. What puts the color on Tainus Esther, that it does have a positive ending, and it's not like Shivasa Batamas and Nishima, the reading of the Megillah. Therefore, at the time of the Talmud, they instituted, because of this idea, you know what? Let's read the Megillah a second time. But the reading of the Megillah for the Purim deliverance, that's only Purim day. Yes?
Is that connected to the idea that the Megillah is...
Yes, only during the day.
But that's during the day.
That's